إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session, reading from the book of Al-Allama, Al-Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir Al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, which is entitled Risala fi al-Hath ala ijtima kalimat al-Muslimin wal-Dhammi al-Tafarruh wal-Ikhtilaf. Yani a risala dealing with the subject of Muslim unity and a repudiation of splitting and differing. Last week we began to read from the author, rahimahullah, from his an introduction to the subject, laying the groundwork and he mentioning some of the proofs and evidences for this great commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his deen, yani the commandment for the Muslims to come together, to unite, to cooperate and to help and support one another based upon yani holding fast to the rope of Allah, yani the deen of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. And this principle is of utmost importance, and perhaps yani some of it has become clear in what we read last week from the first part of this essay, and the continuation of it this week, and he should make it more clear until we reach to the chapters where the Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, actually mentions yani the harms of yani not complying with his command and the benefits of compliance with it and other matters that are related. And tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, before we go into the continuation of what we started last week, we want to just review quickly some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide. Lecture number 2, and the first question being that Allah has created His creation from nothing and brought them into existence after they were non-existent. For what purpose? Now, Mustafa.
Worship Allah alone without any partner, to obey Him, to fear.
Naam, to worship Allah alone without any partners. To obey Him and to fear Him. Yani to be obedient to Allah and to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the purpose for which Allah created the creation. And it is incumbent upon us to understand the importance of this affair and the purpose for which we were created. And as the Shaykh yani begins the essay with this to remind us that what we are calling to here, the unity, any cooperation, gathering together, the community of the Muslims, that this is something that's actually part of the purpose for which we were created, that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be obedient to His command and to observe at taqwa. The question number 2, the dhikr of Allah revolves around the fulfillment of rights, huquq, legislated by Allah in the Quran and Sunnah. Whose rights are intended here? Your name, Akhi. Huh?
Shu'aib.
Allahu musta'an. I'll get it.
Fulfilling his rights, Allah's rights, and fulfilling his servant's rights, which are obligatory and those which are commendable.
Naam. Fulfilling his rights, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfilling the rights of his servants, and those which are obligatory and those which are recommended, commendable, praiseworthy. Yani the dhikr of Allah here meaning what? The dhikr of Allah here means the worship of Allah, the ibadah. The worship, yani the broader meaning of dhikr as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentioned in Al-Wasiyah al-Sughra, it includes everything that a person says or does, that which yani, even is conceived in the heart, which has as its purpose or objective the yani, desire to get near to Allah, the intent to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the Shaykh, he mentions the dhikr of Allah, that it revolves around, yani it is centered upon, it starts from its origin, and what it returns to is the rights of Allah, fulfilling the rights of Allah, and fulfilling the rights of His servants, that He has legislated in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah. Question number 3, discuss the foundation, yani the qa'idah, that, yani from the sharia, that is mentioned by the author, related to al-masalih, benefits, and al-mafasid, harms. Yani this important principle that the Shaykh mentions related to al-masalih and al-mafasid, benefits and harms. Abu Bakr.
تحصيل المصالح وتحليلها وتعظيم المفاسد وتقليلها.
جيد. أحسنت. تحصيل المصالح. Meaning?
To achieve
yani to achieve benefits,
make it complete,
and to make it complete now,
and to get rid of the mafasid, the evil.
Ta'til al-mafasid wa taqliliha, yani to eliminate the evil and harm, or to at least reduce it. This is a tremendous foundation yani in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the objective, the purpose of the sharia, its yani core essential purpose, is to establish good, to establish khair completely and perfectly, or at least to increase it, and to eliminate evil completely, or at least to decrease it. And anything that is contrary to that is not from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended, no matter how good it might seem to the individual. And a person thinks that they're doing something good, but actually it's bringing about greater harm than benefit. This is not what Allah intends. This is not what the sharia is established for. So it's incumbent upon us to reflect on this principle and to understand it well. Question number 4. From the greatest of divine commands and heavenly legislations, يعني الأوامر الإلهية والشرائع السماوية والوصايا النبوية and the prophetic counsels, from the greatest of them is what? نعم أحمد. الاعتصام بحبل الله جميعا. نعم. يعني meaning all together. يعني in unity, all together, holding on to the rope of Allah. يعني uniting, cooperating, working with one another, supporting one another, based on the deen of Allah, based on the haq. نعم. Yani, uniting the word of the Muslims, making the word of the Muslims be in agreement, on one position, one stand, naam. And anything else? Ijtima'ahum, gathering them together. And what?
Wa'itilafihim,
naam. Yani, meaning? Tie between them, to tie them together, itilaf. Yani, the opposite of ikhtilaf, to bring them together, naam. And also, yani, the encouragement to do this, encouraging this joining together and uniting upon the truth, and prohibiting yani separation and division, and discouraging, warning against such. All of this yani comes under the principle of i'tisam bihablillahi jami'an, and not separating or dividing. Naam.
According to one's ability.
Yani, naam, according to one's ability and that which is possible. Yani, according to one's ability, what you have the ability to do, your qudra, and also what is possible, al-amkan. Naam. Question number 5. Memorize the dalil evidence for the above mentioned divine command from the Quran, 3rd Surah, 102nd, 103rd Ayat. Naam, Siddiq.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا.
نعم. جزاك الله خير. أحسنت. And here the Shaykh, he mentions from the Surah Ali Imran, the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that yani calls upon the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih, yani observe taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves it to be. And not to die. Yani that no one should be in a position that if they died, they will be on other than Islam. Illa wa antum muslimun. Yani muwahidun. That person is upon tawheed. And then Allah said, after mentioning this, وَاتَّصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Three things. The first, hold fast the rope of Allah altogether. Yani the deen of Allah. Command. And the second thing, the prohibition. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not be divided and separated amongst yourselves. And the third thing, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. The third thing is Allah is reminding the believers of His favor upon them. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies. And Allah يعني, brought you together, tied your hearts together. And this is important here, right? فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Yani Allah tied the hearts together. This is not unity that where people are standing together, where they're living in the same neighborhood, where they're talking the same language. This is the hearts of being united together by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is the only one who could do that. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَاتِ إِخْوَانًا. So by the ni'mah of Allah, by Allah's favor, you became brothers. After you were enemies, you became brothers by the favor of Allah. This is a tremendous ayah that requires reflection from the Muslims to understand this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has done this, and He's the only one who could do it. And he said, remember this, don't forget this, because perhaps we are forgetting that it's the ni'mah of Allah that we are brothers. That if we have brotherhood, it's from the ni'mah of Allah. This is Allah's favor upon us. And the other people don't have this. This is only something that Allah can give. Because the real brotherhood is not just expressed in words or an outward appearance. Rather, it's the hearts where people love one another. Yani where you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this is in the heart. This is not in speech. People can talk and they can say whatever and sound good. Now, after this, the Shaykh, he mentioned, mentioned the end result of at-tanazur, disputing and differing, from the Quran, 8th Surah, 46 Ayat. What is the end result of disputing and differing? Ibrahim. Now, فَتَفْشَلُ وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Meaning that what? Somebody? يعني تفشلوا. يعني literally it means, فشل means failure. You will fail. You will fail. And some of the scholars, and at least one tafsir, I only found one tafsir where it's explained, and it means that you lose heart. That your hearts become weak. But the literal meaning of it is that you fail. And your power will dissipate. يعني will go. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Now, this is the end result of differing, disputing, arguing. This is what happens. And we see that today, that the arguing and disputing has caused us to be failures, caused us to fail. As a people, not individually, maybe some of you are very successful, but as a ummah, as a jama'ah, we have failed. We have failed. Naam. وَعَدَمَ النَّصْرَ عَلَى الْأَعْدَى. And that you will not have success, victory over the enemy. We see that today, clearly. We see that today, clearly. The Shaykh here, these ayahs and hadith that he's mentioning in this first opening chapter that we will continue with tonight, the purpose of all of these statements, these ayahs from the Quran, or hadith on the Prophet ﷺ, or whatever the Shaykh is saying here, all of it is intended to remind us of the importance of uniting, of the Muslims being in agreement and coming together and working together and cooperating with one another based upon the deen of Allah. Not just based on unity for the sake of unity. Okay, if we have to say that every time, we're going to keep saying it. That's based upon the deen of Allah. Bihablillahi. Naam. Based upon the Quran, based upon the Sunnah, and as it was understood by the Salaf of this Ummah. Not as you understand it, by your own mind, your intellect, according to your desires. This is important. And he's reminding us here of the danger and the harms that come when you differ and you dispute and you argue with one another amongst yourselves. You differ about something, okay, differing in and of itself is not haram, but there's a way to differ though. Yani we differ and we, yani we talk to one another, we communicate and we bring evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, and we try to reach one another, and we don't try to defeat one another, but we try to bring understanding, share it, and sometimes we're wrong and sometimes we're right. And question number 7 mentioned a dalil, that it shows the importance of lean gentleness in inviting the people to unity. Yani from the third surah, 159th ayah. Anybody didn't answer yet? Nah, Musa.
فَحُبْمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَذًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَذُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ.
Meaning?
It's because of the rahmah, for the mercy of Allah, you are lenient towards them. If you are harsh, if you are rude and harsh-hearted, they will have run away from you.
Naam. Yani, it was by the mercy of Allah that you were gentle, that you were easy with them. Linta lahum. Yani, it was by the rahmah of Allah, it was due to the rahmah of Allah that you were gentle with the people. And if you have been harsh and hard-hearted, yani if you have been rude and rough and coarse with the people, they would have ran from amongst you. And the Prophet ﷺ was the best of humanity. And if he had been rough, yani if he had been harsh with the people, even though he was calling to the truth, if he had been harsh with the people, they would have ran from him. And this is a tremendous lesson to us of the importance of gentleness, kindness, compassion, being sympathetic, being considerate. And question number 8, mention Allah's description of the believers who were with the Prophet ﷺ. It mentioned in Surah Al-Fath, 48th Surah, 29th Ayat. Yani the description of the believers. Naam, Abu Bakr. Naam. And the meaning?
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, Al-Ladina, and those Ma'ahu who are with him. Ashidda'u ala al-Kufar. They are harsh and stern against the disbelievers. Ruhama'u bainahum. And they are kind and merciful amongst each other.
Naam. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that indeed Muhammad, he is the messenger of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those who are with him, Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارُ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنُهُمْ. And they are harsh with the disbelievers in the place where it's required, but they are gentle and kind and compassionate and merciful amongst themselves. And this is also, the Shaykh is bringing this to remind us, this is how Allah described the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And they are Amaru, as a community, as a group of people, they are Amaru. They are Amaru, how a community should be, how people should deal with one another as a community. They were what? Kind, compassionate, merciful, gentle with one another. So this is also a reminder to us, yani, to examine ourselves and to see, yani, if we can come together, what would be the things that are necessary from amongst them, is that people be easy, be gentle, be kind, compassionate, be merciful with one another. Otherwise, people are not going to come together. People are not going to want to be with one another. We're going to run from one another. Yani, there might be a place where there's some harshness needed, now, where sternness is needed. In the place, yani, in accordance with the Sharia of Allah, in accordance with the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, there may be a place where harshness is needed, and then that's where it should be applied. And otherwise, yani, the rule is that people should be easy. Question number 8, mention Allah's description of the believers who are with the Prophet ﷺ. I'm sorry, question number 9, mention Allah's description of the Prophet ﷺ, found in Surah At-Tawbah 9, 9th Surah, 128th Ayat. And the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, Ahmed.
قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ.
Naam, قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Huh?
You have in the Messenger of Allah a great example.
That's from Surah. Naam, the ayah from Surah At-Tawbah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. نعم. Anybody memorize this ayah? لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ. نعم. عزيزٌ علي. Naam. And the end of the ayat, bil mu'minina rauf rahim. Laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum. Indeed, a messenger has come to you from amongst yourselves. Azizun alayhi ma'anittum. Yani, what is the hardship? Any hardship that came to you, this is, yani, the Prophet feels it, it's heavy upon him. Azizun alayhi ma'anittum. Harisun alaykum. He is eager and diligent in seeking good for you, seeking your guidance and that which is in your interest and of benefit to you. Harisun alaykum bil mu'mineen rauf rahim. Yani, to the believers, he is rauf rahim. Yani, he is kind, compassionate, and merciful with the believers. This is the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he's our example. Naam. And the last question, memorize the hadith of Tamim Ad-Dari radiallahu anhu, reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Yani, that begins, the religion is sincerity. Naam. Naam, Shu'ib.
And Tamim Ad-Dari, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن يا رسول الله قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم
نعم يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is reported that he said الدين النصيحة يعني the Shaykh is quoting this part of the hadith right to show us that the core the essence of the deen it is النصيحة يعني sincerity being sincere in speech and action they said to whom? He said to Allah to his book to the messenger to the leaders of the Muslims and to the common Muslims the common people and all of these have meanings each one of these يعني parts of this hadith has meaning but the important thing is what? النصيحة يعني sincerity being sincere in speech and action and doing whatever we do sincerely for the sake of Allah in accordance with the book of Allah according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ advising the leaders with sincerity with that which is best reminding one another advising the people yani calling people to that which is good enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong and inviting to the khair and supporting one another yani sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shaykh he said that from the greatest types of an-nasiha Yani is what? Is Yani calling people to this principle of holding fast to the rope of Allah altogether and avoiding Yani tafarruq, separation and division. Tonight we want to continue with what remains from this chapter. Yani where the Shaykh he mentions on page 17 in both books in English and in Arabic. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محذرا لأصحابه عن تبليغه الكلام المغير للقلوب يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says يعني in warning his companions about conveying to him speech that may affect the heart and some scholars like Sheikh Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani said this hadith has weakness and يعني for that reason يعني we should يعني take it with caution, right? But there are other scholars who have different opinion. In any case, yani it does have some weakness. The Prophet is reported to have said, according to this hadith, don't convey to me anything about anyone. لَا يُبَلِّغْنِي أَحَدٌ عَنْ أَحَدٍ شَيْئًا Yani no one of you should convey to me something about someone else. Yani something bad about someone else. فَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أُخْرِجَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا سَلِيمُ الصَّدْرِ Because I love to come out to you while my heart is salim, it's pure, it's free of yani those thoughts or that thinking yani that yani may affect my relationship with you. I like to come with my heart salim al-sadr, that my chest is clear, it's clean. Naam. So yani the point the Shaykh is mentioning this in terms of what yani in Yani trying to be able to deal with each other in the best way may require that we be careful. Yani what we say about other people to one another. Because certainly when you say something bad about somebody, it may affect some people in a very negative way. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was consulted by some of his companions concerning the killing of some of the munafiqeen, he said, لَا يَتَحَدَّثْ أَنَّاسُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا يَقْتُلُ أَصْحَابَهُ. Yani, so that the, yani, he didn't accept this idea of killing the munafiqs, even though they deserve to be killed. Why? Because he said, so that the people will not be talking, saying that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is killing his own companions. And he doesn't want people saying that. Yani, if the leader of Syria kills his own people, the whole world is saying, what's wrong with this man? He's killing his own people. What about Muhammad ﷺ, the Messenger of Allah? Yani, what if the people say he's killing his own followers? This is not a good thing for people to be saying. Okay, this is not a good view. This is not a good picture for someone who's calling people to something that's khair. This will run people away. The Shaykh said, what? So the people would not be saying that Muhammad ﷺ kills his companions. A. Lima fihi min at-tanfir an al-Islam liman lam yuslim. Yani, due to what in that kind of speech, what it contains of tanfir, that yani will run people away, will turn people away, will cause people to distance themselves, to be alienated from Islam, for those people who have not yet entered. It will prevent people from entering Islam. فَتَرَكَهُمْ وَهُمْ مُسْتَحِقُونَ لِلْقَتْلِ تَأْلِيفًا. So the Prophet ﷺ left the hypocrites. He didn't kill them. Even though they deserved to be killed, he didn't kill them. يعني تَأْلِيفًا. يعني as a means of يعني leaving the door open for the hearts to be inclined to Islam. Yani, the hearts of the people who had not yet entered Islam, as well as the hearts of the hypocrites, that perhaps they may have a change of heart and come to Islam in truth. وَكَانَ يُوصِي مَنْ يَبْعَثَهُ لِلْدِعَايَةِ لِلْدِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَتَعْلِيمِ الشَّرَارِ فَيَقُولُ. And he also used to give advice to those who he missioned to propagate the deen of Islam and to teach the legislated laws, the shara'i, the things that Allah has legislated. And he used to advise them with this advice, saying, بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَصِّرُوا وَتَطَاوَعُوا وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا. This hadith reported by Imam Muslim and others. And the previous hadith also reported by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. يعني بَشِّرُوا, give good news to the people. Tell the people good things about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised for those who believe and do good deeds. وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, and don't say to people or do things to people that run them away, that drive them away. يعني give people good news that like incline them to Islam, and don't run people away. Be careful how you deal with people who are not Muslims or who are new Muslims, or even those who are not new Muslims. بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, don't run people away from Islam. Don't run people away from the masjid. There was a brother, I remember Imam Ibrahim used to tell us, and he told us this story more than one time. A brother came to the masjid one day he didn't see for a long time, and he was talking to him, and he was asking, where you been? And the brother was saying, you know, this brother, he had some, you know, problem with the brother, and he didn't come to the masjid no more. And suddenly, the brother looked up and started running away. And the Imam said, what's happening? He said, there he is, right there. That may not be the exact words, but that's the core of it, right? There he is, right there. And he ran away. And we run people away from Islam, run people away from the masjid. Subhanallah. Wallahi, akhi, there are people who run people away from the masjid. Just in Springfield, brother Ibrahim is from Springfield or somewhere, I don't know, New York, then Springfield, North Carolina. He's a truck driver. But yani, the brothers told me just recently that a brother wasn't coming to the masjid because he had a problem with somebody, so he didn't want to come near the masjid. This is happening all over. Be careful, brothers and sisters. Be careful that we don't run people away from Islam. بَشِّرُ وَلَا تُنَفِّرُ, give good news to the people, don't run them away. يَسِّرُ وَلَا تُعَسِّرُ, make it easy for the people within the bounds of what Allah has legislated. And don't try to make hardship on the people. And be agreeable, and don't be yani differing all the time on every point, arguing and disputing. And the Prophet ﷺ also said in the hadith reported by Imam Muslim and the Kutub al-Sunan and Ahmed, وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا فَتَخْتَلِفْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Yani, don't differ, be different from one another so that your hearts yani will differ. فَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ الْإِخْتِلَافَ الظَّاهِرَ أَنَّ الْإِخْتِلَافَ الظَّاهِرَ سَبَبٌ لِإِخْتِلَافَ الْبَاطِنِ. And here the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith is making us to know, he's informing us that when people differ outwardly, physically differ with one another, this is a cause for difference within, yani in their heart and in their soul. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yani when people are praying, to line up and be uniform with one another. Because differing with one another in the salat physically cause difference in the hearts inside of one another. The outward appearance of difference affects the hearts of the people. Be uniform with one another. Be in agreement with one another outwardly, so that we will not affect that which is inside. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّمَا أَحْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مُسَارِهِمْ وَإِخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. Yani, that indeed the very thing that caused the destruction of the people who were before you, the nations before you, is plentifulness, kathratu, yani masailihim, asking a lot of questions. Not questions that are legitimate questions, but asking just questions just to be questioning. Wa ikhtilafuhum ala anbiyaihim, and differing with their prophets. Being differing, just differing. Asking questions that are not necessary about things that are of no benefit, and differing. This, yani, cause problems. It caused the people before us to be destroyed. And all of these, the Shaykh says, وَكُلُّ هَذِهِ الْأَحَدِيثِ فِي الصَّحِيحِ. Yani all of these hadith of his sahih, and except the first one that we mentioned, that there's difference about its authenticity. Shaykh al-Albani says that it is weak. The rest of these hadith are all in the sahih, meaning in Bukhari or Muslim, or if not in Bukhari or Muslim, in the books of hadith, yani where they have been classified, yani a hadith that is considered to be sahih, even if it's not in Bukhari or Muslim. And then the Shaykh says, وَتَوَاتَرَ عَنْهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم النهي عن الخروج على ولاة الأمور وسمع وطاعة لهم وإن ظلموا وعصوا. And this meaning is narrated in a lot of hadith that's in Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh says it has been reported, يعني متواترا, يعني from many chains of narration, from many people in every level, يعني that which is not known by intellect, but what people witness themselves, what they see and what they heard, yani, to the extent, so many people have narrated to the extent that there's no question about its authenticity. It couldn't be something that people could fabricate. Mutawatir. It has been narrated, mutawatir. Meaning, this is not like one hadith, but there are innumerable hadith about which there's no question about its authenticity, the prohibition of rebelling against those in charge of the affairs of the Muslims. Ulatul Umur. And also, yani, the command of hearing and obeying them. And this has been narrated from the Prophet, mutawatira. Even if they were in ظلموا وعصوا, yani even if they are oppressive to you and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if they are oppressive and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the footnotes, yani the Shaykh mentions some hadith, yani quickly from amongst them, that which is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abdullah ibn Umar, that he said it is upon the Muslim to hear and obey in that which he loves and that which he dislikes, except if he is illa an yu'mara bima'asiyatin, except that if a Muslim is commanded to commit sin, disobedience to Allah, فَإِذَا عُمِرَ بِمَعْسِيَةٍ فَلَا سَمْعَ وَلَا طَاعَةٍ. Because if the person is commanded to disobey Allah, then there's no hearing and no obedience. And also reported in Al-Bukhari from Anas ibn Malik, اسمعوا واطيعوا, yani hear and obey, even if there is one appointed over you, yani as your leader or your ruler or in charge of you, even if he was an Ethiopian slave whose head was like a raisin. And also in Bukhari and Muslim from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sees from their leader, man ra'a min amirihi, whoever sees from his leader something that he dislikes, falyasbir, then be patient, for whoever goes out of the authority of the ruler, even one hand span, مَاتَ مَيْتَةً جَاهِلِيَةً, that person dies the death of Jahiliyyah, yani like the people in Jahiliyyah before Islam. And these hadith are from amongst many innumerable hadith that show the importance of obedience to the ruler, to the leader, to the people in charge of the Muslims, hearing and obeying them, except in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you see something you don't like from them, be patient. The Shaykh, he says, all of this, وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِمَا فِي الْخُرُوجِ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَرْ الْعَظِيمِ. Yani all of these commands like this to hear and obey and prohibition of rebelling against the leaders of the Muslims, even if they are oppressive, even if they are disobedient to Allah, all of this is due to what it contains, rebellion against the rulers, for going into disobedience against the rulers, what it contains of great evil, the evil and harm that comes with it. And we could just mention here from Al-Usul al-Sittah or Sittatul al-Usul of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, yani from those six fundamentals that we studied maybe a year or two ago, we found that the first of them is the call to Tawheed, and the second of them is the command to unite. And the third of them is the only way that unity can be, yani fruitful, is the command to hear and obey the rulers over you. And Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab brought these two principles together after Tawheed, the command to unite, and the command to obey your rulers, because they go together. Because they go together. Wallahu a'lam. And then the Shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ بِإِجْتِمَاعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْعِبَادَاتِ. Yani that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded the people, the Muslims, to gather together. اِجْتِمَاعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. To come together, to cooperate with one another, to work together, to be together, to unite, to yani gather together, gatherings. In many of the acts of worship in Islam, like Hajj, all the people of the world come together. The Ayyad, yani the Eids, where all the people of a locality or region come together. The Jumu'ah, where all the people in a city or a town or a section of a town come together. And the Jama'ah, where all the people in a neighborhood come together for the congregational prayers, the men. And this, calling the people to come together for these acts of worship, is due to what it contains of ijtima'ihim. Yani what they're gathering together contains of tawadud. Yani mutual affection. Wa tawasul. Keeping the ties. Yani joining the ties. Being interconnected with one another. And the, yani the absence of yani adam at-taqatur. Yani gathering together eliminates cutting relations. Cutting relations and separating from one another. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also prohibited the people from al-ghiba, wal-namima, wal-sa'aya, wal-taqatur, wal-khiyana, wal-hasad, wal-haqt, wal-nahwiha. And He prohibited the people from backbiting and tail carrying and slander and cutting ties and treachery, yani violating trust that have been given to you, and envy, and having yani thinking ill, yani looking down on one another. All of these things yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger prohibited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam due to what they contain of fasad, the corruption that they cause, the evil and harm that comes with them, and the splitting of the worshippers, yani the dividing and separating of the ibad. And then the Shaykh, he says, وَأَمَرَ بِإِصْلَحْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. And Allah has ordered the people to reconcile between one another. أَمَرَ بِإِصْلَحْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Yani when the people have differences or problems, to try to restore yani mutual love for one another. Try to bring people back together. Allah, we have been ordered to make islah between the people when they have problems with one another. By every means, such that even to the extent, أَنَّهُ أَبَاحَ الْكَذِبُ الْمُتَوَصِّلْ بِهِ لِلْإِصْلَاحِ لِمَا فِيهِ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. Yani even to the extent that He has made permissible the lying which leads to islah. Yani the lying which leads to reconciliation of the people who have differences and problems with one another. Yani to this extent, yani reconciliation is so important that Allah has allowed a type of lying which leads people to come to reconcile due to what it contains of salah, yani the good and the rectification that is contained in yani this type of behavior. And again, the scholars differ about this point. And there are a lot of hadith about the permissibility of the lying in certain cases, yani like in the battlefield, or yani to this particular case, reconciling between brothers or sisters who differ, and even in marriage and stuff like this. Some of the scholars say, yes, you can lie. And some scholars said, lying here means saying something that could be understood in more than one way, and with the hope that the person you're saying it to will understand it in a way that will bring about good, even though that might not be true. Not lying outright, but rather saying something that could be understood in more than one way, hoping that the person will understand it in a way that will bring about good. And Allah knows best. But in any case, the point that the Shaykh is making here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed some type of lying, that which is the means through which reconciliation is achieved between the Muslims to that extent. And I don't remember now, but one of the scholars I read, where he said that yani backbiting, saying something about somebody that's true, Allah has prohibited it because of the harm that comes from it, while lying, if it brings about reconciliation, Allah has allowed, even though it's not true. Think about this. Yani because what? The objective is to make reconciliation between the people. This is how important it is. And when you see two people that have difference with one another, try to reconcile if you're able to do that. Don't just leave them and say, that's their problem. No, it's the problem of our community, of our jama'ah, of our ummah, the Muslims. We're all in this together. And then the Shaykh says, so, overall, whoever reflects upon the seerah, the biography, the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his dealings with the people, the Muslims and the Kafirs, those who were near to him and those who were far, meaning those who were close to him and those who were distant, who maybe he didn't even know. Whoever sees how he dealt with the people, معاملاته من لين الجانب والسماحة التامة والخلق العظيم بالعفو عن أهل الجرائم وتعليف الخلق للدخول في دين الإسلام وإعطاء المؤلف قلوبهم ليسلموا ويقوى إيمانهم وتركوا كل ما تنفر. يعني the Shaykh is saying here that whoever reflects upon this, يعني dealings of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with the people, Muslims and non-Muslims, people who are close to him and people who are distant from him, whoever looks at his dealings with them, yani how he was gentle with the people and how he was kind and generous, as-samaha at-tama, how he was totally kind and generous to the people, wal-khuluq al-azim, and his supreme character which allowed him to pardon the people who committed sins, ahlul jara'im, the criminals, he would pardon them. And there's a footnote here mentioning what? Yani the people of Mecca, when in the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ pardoned the people. He said, "Izhabu fa antum tulaqa." Yani go, you people are set free. Yani he didn't. People who warred against the Muslims, who killed Muslims, who did took their property, the Prophet ﷺ pardoned them. Yani this is a character, khuluq azim, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, "Wa innaka ala khuluqin azim." Yani dinun azimun. Whoever reflects upon this character of the Prophet ﷺ, وَتَعْلِيفْ الْخَلْقِ لِلْدُقُولِ فِي الدِّينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and how he tried to soften the hearts of the people so that they might enter into the deen of Islam, and how he used to give to the people who were interested in Islam, who were not yet Muslims or who were new in Islam, to soften their hearts, مُؤَلَّفْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, how he used to give freely and generously in order that these people would enter into Islam, or that their iman would become strengthened. Meaning that the people who are not yet Muslim, so they would come into Islam. And the people who had just entered Islam, so that their iman could become strong. He used to give. All of this for what? All of this to affect the hearts of the people, so that the people can come together, yani upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he used to leave off everything that alienated the people from Islam, to the extent that he would leave that which was afdal wa akmal. وَيَفْعَلُ مَا دُونَهُ مُرَاعَةً لِقُلُوبِ الْخَلْقِ. And again, what? He would leave those things which were better and more perfect, and do that which was less than it, not equal to it, less than it. مُرَاعَةً, in consideration. يعني, in for the sake of the softening the hearts of the people. لِقُلُوبِ الْخَلْقِ. يعني, in consideration of how this would affect the hearts of the people. Sometime he would do that which was less, and abandon that which was better. And the Shaykh, he mentions a few things here, and we'll come back to it inshallah. وَقَدْ كَانَ حَمَّ, yani here he mentions here concerning leaving that which is better for that which is less. He said, وَكَانَ حَمَّ فِي بُنْيَانَ الْكَعْبَ عَلَى قَوَادِ إِبْرَهِيمَ. Yani he had intended, made a strong intention to rebuild the Kaaba upon the foundations, the original foundation of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, if it wasn't for the fact that your people were newly, yani just leaving Jahiliyyah, then I would have destroyed, demolished the Kaaba and rebuilt it upon the foundations of Ibrahim. This, and the hadith, this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. And here, there's a footnote that's very important footnote, and I left out one footnote that's also very important. But in any case, here he mentions, yani the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Majmu' Fatawa. He said, يستحب للرجل أن يقصد إلى تعليف القلوب بترك هذه المستحبات. Yani it is commendable, praiseworthy, beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a man intend, in leaving some of the things that are mustahab, intend by doing that, that he will unite the hearts of the people, that he will yani attract the hearts of the people. So he might leave something that's mustahab in order for that which is more important than it, the unity of the hearts of the people. And he said, because the maslaha of the uniting the people in the deen is far greater than the maslaha of doing the like of these things. And he's talking here about what? Al-jahri wa sirri in the basmala. Yani issues like, do you recite the basmala in the salat? Yani when you're saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim to recite al-Fatiha, do you recite it out loud, or do you recite it in a low tone, in a whisper? And I just want to say here, don't say, do recite it out loud or silently. There's no such thing as silent recitation. Sirri wa jahri. Jahri means out loud, audible, and sirri means in a low tone. It doesn't mean silent. There's no recitation in the salat that's silent. Everything in the salat has to be said, either in a loud voice or in a low tone. I'm just saying that from the perspective of fiqh, because a lot of books say, do you recite out loud or silently? There's no such thing as silent recitation in salat. So the Shaykh of Islam Taymiyyah is saying here, issues like this, do recite, somebody may recite the Bismillah when they begin the salat, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And other people, they don't recite it out loud. They recite it in a low tone, and then they recite Al-Fatiha. And that's more closer to the Sunnah. But this shouldn't be something that we argue about, such that we differ and separate and dispute and become disunited. Over what? Over this which is less than what is more important than it, the unity of the Muslims upon the Quran and Sunnah. And this is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, abandoning that which is less for that which is greater is like the Prophet ﷺ abandoning, changing the building of the Kaaba, the Bayt, the Kaaba, due to what is contained in leaving it, yani in its condition, ibqaw, just leaving it like it is, in terms of tying the hearts and attracting the hearts and uniting the hearts of the people together, softening the hearts and bringing them together. Naam. Okay, after this, and as we come down to the end of this chapter, with only a few minutes before the adhan, inshallah after the adhan we'll just finish it, just a little bit remaining. So here the Shaykh, rahimahullah, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says, so whoever reflects upon this, yani what has been said up until now, about all these things, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded, ordered, advised, what he did, what he didn't do, yani for the sake of, yani the hearts of the people, attracting the people to the deen of Allah, to obedience to him, to submission to Allah, uniting upon the deen of Allah. فَمَنْ تَأَمَّلَ هَذَا عَرَفَ أَنَّهُ بُعِثَ بِالْحَنَفِيَّةِ السَّمْحَى. So whoever reflects upon this will have come to know that the Prophet ﷺ has been missioned with الْحَنِفِيَّةِ السَّمْحَى, yani the tolerant, upright deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Tawheed. Naam. And here the translator of the book, before that, yani the one who collected these notes from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he mentions some hadith here about al-Hanifiyya al-Samha, and he mentions from them the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, walakinni bu'ithtu bil-Hanifiyya al-Samha, indeed I have been missioned with yani this upright tolerant deen of Tawheed. And then he mentions another narration, إِنِّي أُرْسِلْتُ بِحَنِيفِيَّةٍ سَمْحَةٍ, that indeed I have been sent, yani with this upright, tolerant religion of Tawheed. And then the translator mentions a footnote from the Tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, from the 6th Surah and 135th Ayah, or 6th Surah 162nd and 163rd Ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا كُونُوا حُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Yani they said, be Jews or Christians, and Allah is saying, say, قُلْ, rather the millah of Ibrahim, حَنِيفًا, the upright one, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this ayat, حَنِيفًا, the meaning of حَنِيفًا, as mentioned in these hadith and in this ayat, it means مُقْبِلًا عَلَى اللَّهِ, turning oneself totally to Allah. مُعْرِضًا عَمَّا سِوَاهُ, and turning oneself away from whatever is besides him. This is the meaning of حَنِيفًا. قَائِمًا بِالتَّوْهِيدِ, establishing the Tawheed, تَارِكًا لِلشِّرْكِ وَالتَّنْدِيدِ, and leaving, abandoning every type of shirk and making anything as an equal or partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Any closing words of the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiyah. Yani this very important topic that the Shaykh has yani presented the foundation for it here in these words. Yani after mentioning these ayats and hadith and mentioning here that whoever reflects upon all of this, then they will know that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent with this yani pure and perfect religion of Tawheed, yani that has tolerance within it, tolerating one another and being patient and kind and generous and compassionate and merciful and pardoning, forgiving, Yani this is the way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon at-tawheed. He said, whoever reflects upon this, then they will know that he has been sent with this way of at-tawheed. فَإِذَا عَلِمْتَ ذَلِكَ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ مِنْ أَحَمِّ قَوَاعِدَ الدِّينِ وَأَجَلِّ شِرَاعِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ النَّصِيحَةَ لِكَافَةِ الْأُمَّةِ وَسَعَى فِي جَمْ كَلِمَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَوُصُولِ التَّعَالُفِ وَإِزَالَةِ مَا بَيْنَهُمْ مِنَ التَّبَاغُضِ وَالتَّشَاهِنِ وَالْإِحَنِ. And whoever reflects upon this, then you will have come to know that from the most important of the foundations of the deen, yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di is saying, min ahammi kawa'id al-deen, from amongst the most important of the foundations of the deen. The foundations are the most important thing in anything, right? Because everything is built upon that. And from the foundations, from amongst the most important of the foundations, wa ajalli shara'i al-musaleen, and from the most noble, lofty laws, legislations that the messengers alayhim as-salam have been sent with, is an nasiha, being sincere to the whole of the ummah. Wasa'yu, and striving, not lazily, lackadaisically, striving, fi jam' kalimat al-muslimin, striving to unite the word of the Muslims. That the people be united, that they come together with a common understanding based on the Quran, the Book of Allah, and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as it was understood by his companions and those who followed in their way. Naam, based upon the Quran and Sunnah and the Salaf, striving to unite the word of the Muslims and to achieve the unity or the gathering together of the Muslims, striving to remove whatever is between them of tabaghud, yani mutual hatred, with tashahan, disputing and quarreling, and ihan, yani feuding, naam, with one another. Had a difference and we never get over it. 10 years later we're still talking about it. And still warning people against somebody who made a mistake one time. And how many mistakes have you and I made? But we forgot about those. Naam. This is from amongst the most important foundations of the deen and the most noble and lofty of the laws that the messengers, our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those before him, have come with, being sincere to the whole of the ummah and striving to unite the word of Muslims and to achieve unity and to remove the hatred and quarreling and disputing that is between them. And you will have also come to know anna hadha al-asl, that this foundation, this asl from the usul of the deen, min a'zam ma'rufin yu'mar bihi, yani it is from the greatest, the most magnificent of the things, the ma'ruf, things of good that we have been commanded with. Of the things of good that we have been commanded with, this is from the greatest of them. From the greatest of them, uniting the Muslims, gathering the Muslims together. وَإِضَاعَتُهُ وَإِضَاعَتَهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمْ مُنْكَرْ يُنْكَرْ أَنْهُ أَوْ يُنْهَى أَنْهُ. And abandoning this thing, yani neglecting the unity of the Muslims, is from the worst of all evil, munkar, that we have been prohibited from. Neglecting it, just, I don't care about it, it's not my problem. وَأَنَّ هَذَا, and goes on to say, وَأَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ فُرُودْ الْأَعْيَانِ اللَّازِمَ لِكُلِّ الْأُمَّةِ عُلَمَائِهِمْ وَوُلَاتِهِمْ وَأَوَامِهِمْ. And also you would have come to know that this, uniting the Muslims and striving for this and eliminating what separates them, that this is from the furud al-a'yan al-lazima, yani this is from the fard al-ayn, the things that are obligatory on every individual, not fard kifaya, that as long as some of the people are attending to the unity of the Muslims, it's not all of our problem, we're not all responsible. Rather, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman is saying this is from furud al-a'yan, this is from the things that are fard ayn on every member, yani lazima, obligatory, لِكُلِّ الْعُمَّةِ, on the whole of the ummah, their scholars, their rulers, and their common people. You're not excused. That's on the rulers, that's on the scholars. No, it's on everybody. Rather, the Shaykh says, rather, not only is it all of that, one of the most important foundations, one of the most noble legislations, yani one of the greatest things that we've been commanded with, rather, not only is it obligatory on everyone, he said, بَلْ هِيَ قَاعِدَةٌ لَا يَتِمُّ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا بِهَا, yani it is a foundation that one's iman is not completed without it. Your iman is not completed without it. Yeah, this is a requirement of iman. If you believe in Allah, this is something you have to do. So then it is incumbent upon us to do something about it. Yani, if we have not been doing anything about it, it's about time that we examine ourselves. Because we will answer to Allah. We will face Allah and we'll be asked, we'll be questioned, what have we done with this? Yani, whatever, everybody according to your qudra, right? Or according to your ability, do something. Yani, do something. Talk to somebody, treat somebody, be kind to somebody, be patient with somebody in such a way that you will be part of the effort to unite the Muslims. We are in need to be united upon the Quran and Sunnah. Naam. And that unity requires what? That we teach the people the Quran and Sunnah and the way of the Salaf. It requires that we do that. Otherwise, how can we unite upon the Quran and Sunnah when half of the Muslim Ummah or most of the Muslim Ummah don't know the Quran and Sunnah? Really? Do not understand the Quran and Sunnah. Forget about who knows it and not practicing it. We're talking about the people don't even know it. The Muslim Ummah today in the world, most of the people are ignorant of Islam. That's a fact. I've been all over the world. I'm telling you, brother, I haven't seen any place in the earth except for pockets of people here and there where people know what is Islam. Really, what is Islam? Sheikh Al-Albani gave a speech one time where he said, most of the people don't even, the Muslims in the Ummah, this is what Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah said, most of the Muslims don't even know what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Most of the Muslims in the world don't know the real meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I don't mean the translated meaning. I mean what it really means, the realization of it. Most of the people don't know. And then of course there are some who might have some knowledge of this, but they don't live by it, right? So in closing, the Shaykh, he says that this is a qaida, your iman is not completed without it, therefore it is obligatory to pay attention and to observe this affair, ilman wa amalan, to know it and to act upon it. First to know it, because you can't act without knowledge, and then when you know it, you have to act upon it. And he said, there's no reason why this affair is like this, it's of this great importance, except due to what it contains of masali, al-diniya wa dunyawiya, allati la yumkin hasruha. Yani, the reason why this is so important is due to the benefits, religious benefits and worldly benefits that are contained in it, that one is not able to enumerate or to count. It's not possible. There are so many benefits contained in it. And in the next chapters, and in the next two chapters, he's going to talk about the harms and benefits that's contained in this matter. وَفِي إِضَاعَتِهِ مِنَ الْمَضَارِ. And in abandoning this, neglecting this matter of unity of the Muslims, based upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf, in abandoning this or neglecting it, there are harms, religious harms in our deen and harms in our worldly life, such that it's not possible to count them. And for this reason, he said, I have decided and I have determined, yani, to write these two chapters, the two chapters that follow, talking about the harms and the benefits of this command of uniting the Muslims and gathering the Muslims and bringing them together, holding on to the rope of Allah all together, and not separating, dividing, differing, and just everyone going in their own direction. And this was the introduction, laying of the foundation to the topic. And after this, the Shaykh talks about, as I said, the benefits and the harms. And once a person knows these benefits and these harms in detail, it is incumbent upon them, he said what? عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا, to know it and then to act upon it. Who is responsible for this? The scholars. Naam. And the rulers. And the common people. The ulama and the wulatul umur and the common masses of the people. Awam. Every one of us. Nobody escaped from that. Either you're a ruler or you're a scholar or you're like most of us. Common people. Naam. Tayyib. We stop here, inshallah. It's time for the Iqamah. And, I'll close by reminding us that all of us are going to die soon. Death is near. We will be called to account. Life is fleeting. And we began, and we mentioned earlier in the beginning from the question subjects from last week, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Part of being a Muslim, part of the completion of your Islam and your Iman, is striving towards the unity of the Muslims and making an effort to eliminate that which keeps the people separated. And from the greatest of things that keep the people separated is ignorance of Islam, ignorance of the Quran, ignorance of the Sunnah. It is incumbent upon us to make some effort in da'wah of the people who are not Muslims and the people who are Muslims. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك